Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Go Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for a stacked show today. We'll be hearing from former Cork hurling boss Pat Ryan on the show. Yes, you heard that correct. I'll be chatting to Matthew Hurley of the Southern Stars to discuss Ben O'Connor's recent appointment, and we have a State of Cork City FC review with the very own Rory O'Hagan. But Man United fans, I'm sure you know already, but just in case you don't, here's how it ended in Old Trafford. Darren Stanage with the full-time report.
United 3, Burnley 2, an incredible injury time penalty from Bruno Fernandes wins United their first 3 points of the season. The Reds went in front for a Cullen own goal after Casemiro's header at the bar, but they should have been out of sight at the break. Ahmad and Mbeumo Mount all having good chances going begging. Into the second half, Burnley were much improved. They levelled when Foster met Larson's cross, but Mbeumo quickly made it 2-1 with his first United goal at Old Trafford. Burnley weren't finished though. Walker's throw caused chaos before Foster brought it home his second with 15 minutes to play. Both sides went to win it, and in injury time, VAR spotted a pull on Ahmad's shirt, upsets Fernandes to score the winner. United 3, Burnley 2.
And from one losing team finding form to another in Cork City, beat Munster rivals Waterford in Turner's Cross last night to give the fans a bit of hope, a dangerous thing it feels at the moment. Here is man of the match, 17-year-old Matthew Murray, speaking to Virgin Media after the game.
Matthew, congratulations, you are the SSE Airtricity Player of the Match. Before the game, your manager said it was a must win. You've gone out there, you've got 3 points, you must be delighted with the result.
Yeah, absolutely, over the moon. We've done exactly what we set out to do, and yeah, just buzzing, to be honest. Unreal.
First half, there was few moments of real quality in that half, but Evan's goal certainly was one of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, he done unreal. He took the volley on very well, striked it very well, scored an unbelievable goal. And yeah, it was great to score before the end of the half, and yeah, it was just unreal.
Second half, your time to shine.
Yeah.
You pounced on that mistake, and again, the timings of the two goals just seemed to give you control in the match. Talk to us about your goal first.
No, I saw he was going to play it back, so I pounced on it, and then I got lucky. I got there in time, shot, scored, near post, got hurt in the process, but no, it should be all good. My ankle's feeling better now, so yeah, just overall very, very happy.
This will obviously give you a great buzz. We could see the reaction of the crowd coming off there tonight. A huge 3 points. Could this be the beginning of the great escape?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think so. Definitely.
You still believe, do you, that you can survive in this league another season?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. We keep going from this, and this will give us confidence, and we keep going.
Great stuff.
100%.
Matt, congratulations. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Well, brilliant to hear a bit of confidence from Matthew. Here's our manager, Jernesh.
Jer, you said it was a must win. You must be delighted with 3 points this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really clear what we had to do. So, relieved we've done it. And, we need to move on and get some more. But, it's a good night for us.
First half, there was kind of few moments of quality from both teams, really. But Evan's goal right at the... Couldn't have come at a more perfect time, could it?
No, listen, great time to score. Brilliant strike from Evan. He's got that in his locker. He scored a couple of goals in the last sort of 5 or 6 games. He scored against Sligo here. Wonderful strike. Credit to him. Brilliant. Great time to score, like you said. As you said, there wasn't a huge amount of chances in the game. I think they probably had the better, more clear-cut chances. I think it came from us playing out from the back and getting caught a little bit, and we gifted them some opportunities. Conor Brown made some good saves, but I also thought we were a threat. I thought Matt Murray was really dangerous at times down that left hand side or left side centre of the pitch at times. So I thought it was a game where both teams are probably going in, if it was 0-0 at half time, gone, we can win the second half. The goal obviously maybe gives us a boost. It's sometimes it goes, sometimes it doesn't, but it was a wonderful strike, and yeah, credit to him.
And the second goal, Matt Murray's player of the match performance from him, energy throughout, and he pounced on it, perfect time again to get a second goal.
Yeah, again, brilliant finish, really good press in terms of what the team did, what some of the players did, and executed really well. And then obviously we got a chance off the back of it, and really good finish. And to be honest, from then on, we had numerous opportunities. Keeper made some unbelievable saves from my memory. But it was a game. Look, the scoreboard's 2-0. They've had chances, we've had chances. It was probably, I haven't seen the stats, but I imagine it's going to be 50-50 in a lot of areas. They had chances, we had chances. Two really good finishes have obviously won us the game. It was a tough, really tough result. A really tough game and a tough win for us, but we're delighted with the lads, really delighted with them.
Listen, finally, just been talking to Matt, he said it's on. Those 3 points, could the great escape be done by Cork this season?
Yeah, we're fighting. I've always said that, we're fighting. And look, that dressing room, they're buzzing. Look, I said before the game, kids. We've got five teenagers in that team. It's you know, the starting lineup. It's they're doing terrific. The maturity from them, the passion from them. And look, I have to say as well, I thought Shawnee Maguire was absolutely fantastic up front. Rory Feely at the back, Conor Brannan goal. Like, you can go through them all. The teenagers, the older players, the more senior players. Derek Crowley, Evan got his goal. Sean Murray coming on to help out. So look, credit to them all. We've won the game. We need to win some more. Simple as that. We'll be back at the training room working tomorrow morning.
Well done, Ger.
Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully a few more wins on the board. Chat everything Cork City and a bit of Cove, of course. Was very own Roy O'Hagan.
We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Rain. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench. I'll try to say it properly this time by our very own Rory O'Hagan. Rory, is there good mood around Cork City at the moment on the back of the bit of form we're kind of coming into down this home stretch?
Yeah, City are certainly one of the form teams in the month of August. So three wins, a draw and a defeat. So not doing too badly at all. It's too little too late, I think. Unfortunately, you look at last night's result and you're thinking that's a good result. And then you're thinking to yourself, if City could only have held out in Sligo a month ago when they were winning that game, if they could only have gotten something against Waterford a couple of weeks before that, it's like, is that Sligo game is always going to rank them. Like, City 2-0 up in their coast and then to concede three goals to lose that game 3-2 in Turner's Cross back in the 25th of July. So that was, just a month ago. That was a hard one to take. Last night, good performance, good win, two good goals. McLaughlin with a fine goal and Murray scoring but injuring himself in the process, which is massively unfortunate because he certainly announced his arrival down in Super Valley Park at Cueven. He scored a great goal against Celtic. He's looked really, really good. He's been used a lot more since that injury to Cathal O'Sullivan, and took a good goal last night. Unfortunately, he just went over his ankle as he scored it. But it's good to see City finding some sort of form. Their points per game average is up. And they look like they are taking on board what Ger Nash wants them to do. Ger looks a bit more comfortable, looks a little bit more confident. It's just it's sad it's taken this long for City to kind of click and get in together. Now they're 7 points behind Sligo. Sligo play Bowes tonight at 7:45. I'll be keeping an eye on that one. If Bowes could do us a favour tonight, you're thinking, right, 7 points in it, why not? I mean, like, still a long way to go here. You play Sligo Rovers second last game of the season, that could be huge, but we could also be relegated by then. So it's one of those kind of, you're probably a bit like me, Dan. It's hard to be massively hopeful, but there is that hope there still, and that's what we're clinging to.
Absolutely. Well, I think the most commonly used phrase by City fans at the moment is the hope that kills you. I was saying to you off air and nearly would have purred if we lost in a weird way just to kill it off now, so I'm not dreaming for the rest of the season. But look, there is a bit of hope, whether people agree or not. We have an away game at Galway United. How huge do you think that one could be? Potential 6-pointer there to bring them back into things. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Sligo on second last day of the season.
I think Galway might be just a little bit too far away. Just actually on Galway, just rest in peace, Ollie Horgan. I'm an absolute gent of a man, an absolute League of Ireland legend. I only had some brief dealings over the years, but he couldn't have been more nice and more accommodating and just an absolute legend of a man. Did such great work with Finn Harpson, who's working up in Donegal as a teacher, and then with John Caulfield as his assistant, with Galway United. He's just a massive, massive loss to the league, and condolences to everyone at Galway United and to Finn Harpson, to everyone who knew him, because just an absolute legend of a man, just so nice and so generous with his time. I'm not sure anyone has ever had a bad word to say about Ollie Horgan, which is quite unusual in the League of Ireland. It's incredible. Look, just an absolute legend of a man. So rest in peace, Ollie Horgan. That Galway, I think Sligo, you have to be targeting Sligo. Like, Galway or what?
Galway are on 30 points, and I think they're actually having a shakier time of it than Sligo at the moment. So I think we'll sooner be passing Galway than Sligo.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, like, City's next home league game is in a couple of weeks against Shamrock Rovers. I mean, like, that's going to be huge. I mean, like, you can't be worrying about Galway United at the end of September unless you get results against Shamrock Rovers and St. Pat's, which isn't going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, like, City have to, it's Finn Harpson in the cup next for City, obviously, on Friday week. And it could be in a situation, Cork City could be in a cup final and getting relegated almost in the same couple of weeks, which would be a weird one, all right. But, like, there is that hope, and I've been seesawing on it all day. Are Cork City going to stay up? Are they going down? And that result last night just made me go, maybe they can do it. But it all depends on how they do. I think if you get a win against the Finn Harps, you get yourself into that FAI Cup semi-final. You've got that confidence with Shamrock Rovers coming down, so they're starting to look good at home. A good result last night and a good performance. And you take a point off Rovers, or if you manage to somehow get all three, you're right there and then. So I don't think you can start worrying about Galway until you get over that Shamrock Rovers and St. Pat's two games in the space of like 3 days. And if you get 4 points out of that, you're thinking, right, come on, we'll go give Galway a rattle then.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you what do you think is an acceptable margin in those two games, and I was probably aiming for 4 points myself, hopefully a draw against Shamrock and then a win away at Pats. We nearly got something out of them the last time we were there.
Fairness, certainly did. Yeah, and like you never know. Logic says that, like, you know, Cork City are bottom of the table. They have just 22 points from 29 games, and Shamrock Rovers top of the table, 53 points, and haven't lost a whole lot of games. They've only lost 4 games. I mean, like, it would be a massive shock for Cork City to beat Shamrock Rovers, even at home. St. Pat's, maybe not in the best of form at the moment, but they're still fourth on the table. Do you know what I mean? So, like, they're both going to be tough games. Obviously, going to Inchicore is always a tough place to go. But you get, like, it's all, I suppose, about that focus on the cup game now against Finn Harps. It's kind of a nice distraction to have from the league, I suppose. And it's just a shame it's just such a far journey for Cork City fans to get up and down to, because I'd imagine it would have brought a huge crowd to somewhere maybe a little bit closer. I still think there'd be a big Cork City crowd up there. But yeah, like, Finn Harps is certainly a very, very winnable game in the FAI Cup quarter near to semi final. Then, and
what happens when Harps beat us, because our away record has been absolutely terrible?
Stop then. Like, you'd hope, like, they can do something and get a result and just get that cup final into that, like, the last four of the cup, and then the atmosphere around the club lifts, the mood around the club lifts, and you kind of go into that Shamrock Rovers game raring to go. There'll be a bigger crowd at this Shamrock Rovers game, obviously, because they'll be coming down and with a big crowd themselves, and you'll have the bounce of hopefully beating Harps in the FAI Cup. And then it's just game on. So a lot is hinging, I think, on that Shamrock Rovers game in a couple of weeks. And we can talk about Galway, and we can talk about Sligo Rovers and those games coming up towards the end of the season. But it's all about that Shamrock Rovers game, and that will kind of set the tone then for the last 6 games of the season. If they can get a result against Shamrock Rovers, you think they have, right, this crowd have shown bottle, they've shown metal, and they can go off and hopefully keep battling until the very, very end.
If we beat Finn Harps and hopefully maybe draw a Sligo in the semi and get to the final, and who knows what could happen on the day of the final, is it a good year for Cork City if they win the FAI Cup but still get relegated?
That's a very, very interesting question. I'd be inclined to say no. Like, going into this season, my expectations were quite low anyway. It's difficult to come up as a promoted team and stay in the division. I would have been happy with 8th, consolidate and move on. Look, it's been a tumultuous season for Cork City with Tim Clancy leaving and then Jarn Ash coming in and taking some time to find his feet, which he appears to have done so now. Like, obviously avoiding relegation was the key factor this season. Winning the cup is always fantastic, but Premier Division football is where you need to be at. So I'm kind of leaning on the no side. But then again, Cork City haven't won the FA Cup too many times in their history. So a day out in the Aviva Stadium lifting the FA Cup wouldn't be too bad. It'd be a nice way to end the season if Cork City had gotten relegated, but not giving up hope yet.
What have you made of our friends down in Cove Ramblers at the moment? They're in second place in their table down the First Division.
Yeah, quietly putting together a nice run. I mean, like, they got a great result last night away from home. And then to see Dundalk play out a ding-dong battle with Kerry last night, finished 3 apiece, was 5 goals in the space of 10 minutes last night in that game. So it would be fantastic to see Ramblers come up. They still have a bit of ground to make up on Dundalk. They're 6 points behind with 7 games to play. So it's not impossible for Ramblers to make that up. They have looked very, very solid. I haven't seen a massive amount of them, but every time I've seen them, I've been impressed by them. They play Kerry. They go to Kerry next week, which is going to be a big Munster derby for them, which will be absolutely massive Dingin result there. But yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting running for Cove Ramblers. They look very, very solid. Could come down to that game against Dundalk. They have, I think it's the third last game of the season. Away from yeah, they're away from home. Oh, they're at home in Saint Park on 17th October. So I mean, like, if they can just keep getting the results, keep putting the wins together like they have been doing. An impressive win last night. Obviously, a lot of former Cork City players playing in that Cove Ramblers team, and they seem to be gelling well. Dylan McGlade coming back, and he's back in with them. It would be fantastic to see Cove Ramblers come up. And if they don't come up as the promoted side, if they could get into the playoff final, they would give any team in the Premier Division a handful in that promotion relegation playoff, I think.
Do I even say it? I'm trying to maybe anti-jinx it. But say if Cork City against all odds survive and get into that ninth place playoff spot, do go up then, knock them out then, and
a lot of Cork City fans will be nervous about that, alright, but that'll be an absolutely massive battle. I mean, like, you get a big crowd at Turner's Cross for that, and the two Cork sides going head to head. It'll be very, very interesting indeed. Or that game would have to be played at a neutral venue, wouldn't it? So that would have to be Waterford. Be close to venue. I'm not sure how.
Probably would.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it all works out unless the two sides can come to an agreement and play their Turner's Cross. Yeah, I suppose that a lot of Cork City fans will be nervous. But look, a lot of football is prepared between now and then. 7 games left for each of them. And Cork City, obviously, with that cup game to look forward to as well. But yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting run-in. And yeah, just the hope that they've given us last night, Dan, is kind of going to keep us going for the next couple of weeks.
How do you see the next couple of weeks going? Are we sitting here in a month's time with still a hope again? Or do you think we're kind of saying, all right...
It could be like, I mean, like, that's just football. You never know the way it's going to go. I mean, like, no game for City, obviously, next Friday, but there's just 7 games left to go, and like, some very, very tricky games for City coming up. I suppose they're all going to be tricky games. You're bottom of the table, rounding off of that home game against Derry City, and that could be a massive game if Cork City are to stay up. But look, they're all massive games, and the biggest, it's that old cliche, the biggest game is now the next game. That is that game against Finn Harps. And look, as I said, that Shamrock Rovers game is going to set the tone. If you get a point off them, if you can even sneak a win, it'll be absolutely incredible, give you something to build on going to St. Pat's. And then, as you mentioned, Galway coming down, but City need to get points on the board. And look, just fingers crossed Bowes can do us a favour tonight against Sligo.
Hopefully, Rory, it's going to be an interesting time at Cork City anyway, no matter what, but it always is, to be fair. Thanks, Mil, for joining us.
Yeah, never a dull moment with the Rebel Army, kid.
Right, we're going to park the Cork City chat for a bit. Although our women's team are in action currently against DLR Waves in Turner's Cross, where our men's won all. Now, I told you at the top of the show we'd have Pat Ryan, and here he is speaking to Joe McCarthy following his exit as the manager of the biggest team in Irish sport. Enjoy.
Now, on Cork Red FM's Big Red Bench, I am delighted to be on the line with the former Cork senior hurling manager, Pat Ryan, who joins us here on the Big Red Bench. Pat, thanks very, very much for speaking to us.
No problem, Joe.
I hate saying former, Pat, I'll be honest, because it's been an absolute pleasure dealing with you during your time, both as Cork under 20 manager and as Cork senior manager. Look, the dust has settled. Your decision has been made. Notice you've had a few days after the decision has been made that you're no longer going to be in charge. How are you feeling, first of all?
Look, fantastic, Joe, to be honest with you. Look, I know my gut was the right decision after the All-Ireland final, but obviously, look, for myself, first and foremost, I just needed a break, to be honest with you. It's been a tough kind of couple of 6 months, and I just needed a break for myself. And look, I suppose I took my time to make sure that I was making the right decision, and I suppose I was taking, look, obviously, in all those things, look, there's other people involved, and you know, there's kind of the dog in you that doesn't want to give up and doesn't want to kind of, you know, when you haven't got what you wanted and kind of, can we go back and do it again? But look, the reality is, look, at this level, you need the energy, you just can't have any little bit of a doubt. And look, I always kind of, when I'm involved in jobs or I'm asked to do something, I always kind of, I do it with two things. And, you know, look, you're better off looking in, thinking you'd love to be in there, than being in there and saying, I wish I was out of it. And that was in my head all the time. And look, if you're doing the cocktail. And look, the other thing is, look, we, as I've said from day one, you don't monopolise the job. You try and make it better. You try and do your best. We've brilliant people in Cork. They'll be a brilliant person appointed. And you know, I'm looking forward to getting back to matches and having a couple of pints. And look, fellas wouldn't believe it. I've actually never watched a match in the premium section, so I'll be looking for two tickets or some place to go and watch Cork next year.
How are Trish, Aisling, Keane and Daniel going to deal with you around the house all the time?
Asher looked to that. Not about look, to be honest, I'll find something. And you know, look, my kids are out playing GA more than I nearly am, and the wife is out with the kids more than I am. So I'd say I'll probably be home a lot on my own. And don't get me wrong, I was in a very privileged position. The lads were there in a privileged position. You know, my kids were able to come into training at sometimes with me. You know, especially my smallest for the key. And you know, look, he was devastated when they told him. And you know, in fairness, a lot of the players I spoke to. Every player nearly know at this stage, and you know they were all saying that Jesus tell Keane we're asking for him, and that was a huge thing for me over the last 3 years, the enjoyment my family got out of it. And you know, it's kind of they were in a very privileged position, you know, that we can that they can walk into training with me and meet all the lads, and they know all their heroes as well, and you know, but that's something that they'll never forget, and I'll always be grateful to the players for the way they treated my family with respect, you know.
It was pretty obvious to anybody that listened to the Big Red Bench interviews both last year ahead of the Clare All-Ireland and this year ahead of the Tip All-Ireland how the players respect you, Pat. That's not blowing trumpets. No, that's fact. If you listen to any player in those interviews, read any newspaper articles, they believed in you. They were with you on that journey and your backroom team throughout the last number of years. Is that one of the key things you're going to miss? Is the away from the drama, away from the matches themselves, but those moments when it was just you, the backroom team and the squad together, they're the kind of key things that people, you'll miss the most.
I view that's what the key thing about the GA is relationships and what you have. And don't get me wrong, look, the more you win, as I keep saying, the better the days are and the thing. I mean, look, we had plenty of really, really good days. And look, I suppose I always try to treat fellas with great respect. And look, I'd always be hoping that everyone that was inside our group was thought I was making decisions for what was best of all the players and for us and Cork to win, you know. And I think I did that. I suppose, look, and from my point of view, it is, you know, look. There's plenty of players now who are going to get, you know, that maybe weren't on the team or weren't making the 26, or fellas who were playing with the club championship. A new fella in will have different ideas, and we'll look to do it for different things. And there's great opportunities there for other fellas now. And you know, I've said that to lots of fellas that work on maybe out of our panel or on starting on the 15 over the last in the phone calls I've had with them over the last couple of days. And you know, embrace that. You know, be ready to go and be ready to, you know, put the best foot forward, because a new man will be coming with fresh eyes, and you know that, you know, they need to hit the ground running, for want of a better word.
Whatever about on the pitch, off the pitch, I won't say the hype train, but the way the Cork supporters got behind this group, you included, or I think that'll be your lasting legacy. Whatever about trophies, whatever about All-Ireland finals, wins and losses. At a time that people don't realise is one of the most difficult, because the Munster Championship is one of the most difficult to win right now, such as the quality of it. And you've always said, as when you were manager, get out of Munster. Don't worry about whatever about winning Munster, and you did get out of Munster because it's so difficult. But the fans, Pat, and the people that supported you, the sellouts, the stadiums, the atmosphere, the wave and the tidal wave of emotion that you brought the county on, is that something you can appreciate a bit more now, or do you still need a bit more time to actually realise what I'm talking about?
I appreciate all the people going to the matches and the cost it was. And I suppose if I was to pick one day, and lots of people picked 2024, I picked the Munster final this year. You know, after going up and getting beaten by 16 points by Limerick, kind of 2 or 3 weeks previous, to get the crowd that we had to go back up and support us and follow us again and stay with the team. Like that was very humbling. And look, I suppose it wasn't something that we weren't aware of when we took over. You know, it was, look, when you take over a job like this, you look at the things that you need to do and what thing. And look, I knew full well that the having been involved, having been watching from outside, you know, the juggernaut that is the Cork fans. And once you get them behind you and you get them going with you, it was a hugely, hugely positive thing for us. And look, it's, and I suppose, look, that's some of the reasons why we went after goals a lot. Look, obviously goals with a team, but the reaction that you get from goals and the fans come behind you, and it just pushes the team on and pushes the team on. And look, they were a huge part of the success that we had. And you know, I suppose, look, it's I often regret that, you know, I suppose we got to our All-Ireland finals, and you know, if we'd have got one more goal maybe in 2024, it would have given us that extra momentum in the second half that time when we'd won two chances, and that might have pushed us on. Whereas if you look at Clare in that game especially, they got two brilliant goals in the second half, and that's what gave them the momentum. And as I said, look, all the fans all across the country are brilliant. Do you know what I mean? We've come up against the Clares, the Limericks, all of them. Do you know what I mean? The Tipperary's this year. Do you know, once fans get behind their team and they see their team playing for the jersey, do you know, they're brilliant. But look, the Cork fans have been very good to me, gave me great support around the difficult times. And look, in fairness, look, obviously you get a bit of criticism, but you know, I've been very, very lucky with even since the All-Ireland final, the amount of well wishes and the amount of cars that have come to my house and have been fantastic. Because it makes it a bit easier to get over the All-Ireland final, once for better what.
Have you watched back that All-Ireland final, Pat?
I watched back bits of it, to be honest with you. Look, I hadn't kind of really, you know, because look, it's something that you kind of look. It was obviously the second half was a horror show and stuff like that, and you know, you don't like watching distressing things. But look, there's no point myself now watching back it and analysing it too differently, because look, that'll be for the next man to look it over and to look at it and say, Jesus, how did that happen? Because look, there's reasons these things happen at times, and you need to look at the underlining areas that you would have improved on. But look, don't get me wrong, I've thought of areas that I would have done differently coming up to the All-Ireland final, or we would have done differently as a group. But look, credit to Tipperary, do you know what I mean? We can say we could have done this, I could have done that, and you know, I think that'd be underselling what the momentum and the travelling support and the buzz that was behind that Tipperary team coming into the All-Ireland final. And look, they deserve their win, and you know, it's whoever goes home with the trophy is the best team of that year, you know.
Red FM. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey here with you. The second half of that Pat Ryan interview will be played on tomorrow's Big Red Bench from 6, so be sure to be tuned in. The interview goes a lot more in-depth, I think it's fair to say, on that one. But in keeping with car curling, though, I caught up with Matthew Hurley earlier today to talk all about it. Right, we're delighted to be joined here by Matthew Hurley of the Southern Star on the Big Red Bench. Matthew, how are you keeping anyway?
Yeah, sure, all good, Dan. I thought that this weekend would be a lot quieter with no club action in Cork, but with the news that happened late this week, I would say, on Thursday, it's not so quiet now. So, and good news for Cork hurling in many ways that Ben O'Connor's been appointed.
Well, before we start looking ahead, we'll look back and what have you made of Pat Ryan's tenure? I think it's been absolutely incredible in these 5 years with the under-20s and then senior team.
Exactly, yeah. Pat has made, I would say, the biggest compliment I could give Pat is he made Cork kind of believe again. Usually the senior team would be, they would be talked about in terms of All-Ireland and contenders, but not to the extent of, let's say, a Limerick or even Liam Sheedy's Tipperary side or Clare under Brian Lowe. And Cork would have been probably way below that kind of counties. But after that, Pat has really brought on Cork to a whole new level afterwards. Obviously, the 2024 season was probably the highlight. Beating Limerick twice in 1 year was a magnificent achievement, and obviously coming oh so close against Clare in the final. He has come up short twice, but look, to bring Cork to this stage, to be competitors again, you have to give him a lot of credit for that. And the fact that Cork are now very much a settled team, when you look at the players that have come in the spine of the team, for example, like the goalkeeper, that's nailed down. Midfielder, Tim O'Mahony and Darragh Fitzgibbon, nailed down. Shane Barrett is a nailed down starter in this team as well. He's integrated the youth into this team as well. The likes of Barrett, the likes of Brian Hayes as well, which is a magnificent achievement by Pat as well. He did an absolutely brilliant job as Cork hurling manager. And I know a lot of people will be disappointed after the final against Tip, but you have to kind of take a few steps back and just appreciate what a great job he has done to get us into that position as well. And obviously the personal stuff that he went through this year, obviously with the tragic loss of his brother Ray. Obviously, that would have been upsetting for him in any circumstance. So to plow on and to get Cork to an All-Ireland final on a personal level was absolutely outstanding. When you think about the trauma, I suppose, that Pat did go through. So look, he did an absolutely outstanding job of bringing Cork to a whole new level in terms of All-Ireland contenders. It's up to Ben now to carry on that kind of the legacy that Pat has brought, and not just to the senior team, as you rightly mentioned, Dan, the under-20s. He's in an outstanding job there, winning All Ireland's left, right and centre there as well. And yeah, Pat, what a manager he has been for Cork Hurling. And I think every person, when the news was announced, every person had good things to say about Pat, which is always a good sign in many ways. So yeah, I think he did an outstanding job with the Cork Hurlers. It was his own decision, which is probably the right thing to do at the end of the tenure as well, which was obviously brilliant. Like, he made his own decision to walk away, and obviously we have to respect him for that as well. So look, he did an absolutely outstanding job at Cork, and it's up to Ben O'Connor now to take up the mantle.
I think they seemed like the county board are pushing for a 3-year term. Do you think maybe they should have just maybe had it a 1 year, because we've seen an improvement in this Cork side kind of time and time again. First year didn't get out of Munster. The progression then we saw to get into an All-Ireland final. And then for this year to win a National League title, which we hadn't won in years, and then to win a Munster as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think he did an absolutely outstanding job, as I mentioned there. And I know you were saying the 3-year term, maybe that was probably too much from Pat's standpoint as well. And not just obviously the personal stuff that went on with his brother passing away this year, but obviously Pat has had health struggles, as he has said in media circles over the last few years, or the last 5 years or so. So look, Pat has had stuff going on in his personal life as well. Maybe a 1 year, if Cork really wanted Pat Ryan to stay on, maybe probably 1 year term probably would have been best, considering Pat has given so much service to Cork already. 3 year term might have been too steep from in many ways. But look, you have to take into account as well the job that he has done with Cork and bringing them to another level in terms of contending for All-Ireland titles. Look, I think Pat did an outstanding job at Cork. It was ultimately up to him, which is, I think, that's the best way for a manager to go out in many ways, Dan, to give them the option. Do you want to take on another term? If they say no, look, that's his choice, and we always respect them for that. So I think in many ways was handled well by Cork in not just putting the plug easily or whatever in terms of getting rid of him, like sacking him or whatever. Like, we've seen what happened with Mayo, with Kevin McStay, and probably the animosity towards Mayo GA in terms of that. Cork didn't want that, and in fairness, look, Pat walked away on his own accord. That was the best thing to happen for all parties. And look, he did a brilliant job at Cork, that can't be forgotten. And look, he can hold his head high in terms of what he has done for Cork GAA.
Absolutely. Well, look, we're going to look forward now. Well, I was going to say there's plenty of chat about who could it be during the week, but there probably wasn't, as a lot of people seem to have the one standout, and the standout has been gotten. Ben O'Connor will be the new Cork senior hurling manager. Matthew, your first thoughts on it?
First thoughts is it was really, really quick, and surprise, that was really, really good for the Cork County Board, and in terms of the selection committee as well. You have to give them a lot of credit for that, because my mind kind of cast it back to last year, and Derry Football, after Mickey Hart left his post as Derry Football manager, Derry took nearly 5 months to get Paddy Talley in as their new manager. So there was always that kind of fear that Cork would take, the longer this kind of saga would drag out, the worse it would become. But to be fair to the Cork County Board, they pinpointed their option, they got him straight away. And it was just a case whether Bain wanted the job or not, and it appears he does want the job. So that's obviously great for all parties. In terms of the appointment itself, I think it was obvious from the get-go. Look, Bain has done unbelievable work in terms of not just with Cork at underage, but in terms of with Middleton in 2021. He wasn't the manager of that team, obviously, but he was the head coach of that team, and they won the county title in 2021. He brought them to a better level, in fairness, and getting them off the line against Glen Rovers in that final, obviously with the under-20s winning that All-Ireland in 2023. And I looked during the week, Dan, about the players that Ben did have at his disposal back then. Owen Downey and Gerbert Healy were two of them players. Ben Cunningham would have been another player on that team as well. So would have William Buckley, Brian Saunderson, the goalkeeper as well. All players that would have been in and around the Cork team under Pat Ryan in the past few seasons. So Ben would know those players inside and out, especially the likes of Healy and Downey, who would start for the senior team that started for that under 20 team back in 2023 as well. In fact, Owen Downey started in midfield against Offaly, mm-hmm. which is quite interesting. Will Owen be brought out of full back under Ben O'Connor remains to be seen. But I think in terms of in terms of knowing Cork GAA inside and out, in terms of knowing the players, in terms of his managerial resume, and of course he did captain Cork to the All-Ireland title in 2004 as well, so that can't be gone unnoticed either. So I think from all aspects, from all angles, I think this is a magnificent appointment by Cork GAA, and it's just about, there will be a lot of pressure on Ben, I'm sure there will be. All-Ireland will be the main aim, obviously. Maybe even next year, because you look at the teams kind of falling by the wayside. You look at even the All-Ireland contenders. I honestly don't have an iota who would win the All-Ireland next year, because it's going to be so open. Because when you look at Limerick, you know that team could be going under. Tipperary, notoriously don't do two in a row. Clare, could they be falling off the wagon a small bit? Kilkenny haven't won an All-Ireland in a few years. They're on a drought like ourselves as well. So it's going to be very difficult to see who wins the All-Ireland. So it'd be interesting to see what the main objective for the first year will be with Ben. Will it be to win the All-Ireland straight away, or will it be to gradually get better and to win the All-Ireland eventually in 2 or 3 years' time? It's hard to know, but yeah, I think it is a very good appointment for Cork All-Ireland that Ben O'Connor has been appointed.
The team wise itself, what changes do you see happening if you were to make them? Do you expect to see a lot of the younger guys come in now and establishing themselves, the lads that would have been on those under 20 teams under Ben?
Very interesting angle there. I think the mind casts to probably the goalkeeper in many ways, Brian Saunderson, because Brian Saunderson would have been in and around the Middleton team in 2021. The panel or whatnot when Middleton won the county. And then in 2023, he started in goal for the under-20s with Ben O'Connor as manager as well. So will Ben trust Brian Saunderson to go in goal instead of Pat Collins? To be fair, Pat Collins hasn't done too badly in goal, but I think Brian Saunderson is definitely worth a shout in terms of a goalkeeper for this Cork team as well. You look at full-back, a lot of talk after the All-Ireland final. I think, honestly, Dan, I think it's pretty disrespectful to Owen Downey. I know Owen Downey got the red card and he didn't have his best day with John McGrath on him, obviously. But up until that point, in the last 2 years, Owen Downey has probably been one of the most improved players in the Cork team. And as a young player as well, 19, 20 years of age, I think he's around 21 at this stage as well. So he's still a very, very young player and he will have time to develop and grow. So it will be interesting. Will Ben put someone in a full-back in the league that's more experienced than Owen Downey, or really stick with Owen Downey? That's a big, big call to make. In midfield, I probably wouldn't change too much. Tim O'Mahony and Darragh Fitzgibbon have done brilliant over the last years in those positions. To be fair, in that All-Ireland final, Dermot Healy, one of the younger players, was probably one of Cork's main performers, so I wouldn't probably take him out of the team. Shane Barrett has performed well over the last few years. Declan Dalton, obviously. You look at the forward line in, Brian Hayes is definitely a slam dunk in the team. Alan Connolly didn't have his best year, obviously, but he has to. I think Ben probably has to trust in him because he is a fantastic hurler. Patrick Horgan, it's going to be very interesting now to see with the free taker. Obviously, in that under-20 team, it was Ben Cunningham that was the main free taker for St. Finbar's, and he's taken up that form in the club championship so far. And he has done well gradually as the year has gone on in terms of free taking for St. Finbar. So it will be interesting to see, will Ben go with Ben Cunningham or will he go with Patrick Horgan? It's going to be very, very interesting to see that kind of standpoint as well. I think Kieran Joyce has to start. Robert Downey probably has to start in terms of leadership standpoint. Mark Coleman, very experienced over the last few years, probably has to start as well. Overall, I probably wouldn't change too much, Dan. I just think it'll be very, very interesting to see in certain positions, particularly the goalkeeper, and particularly with Patrick Horgan up front, whether Ben will change much out of that or will he keep with the same kind of formula, if you like. So it will be interesting.
Yeah, I think the league will surely tell a lot anyway about what his plans for the Cork team are going to be. What are you expecting mentally? I mean, there's a lot of online talk, and I don't know whether it's going to be true or not, that Ben will instill maybe a bit more of an aggressive, dogged nature into this Cork team as well.
Yeah, and Ben does have that kind of temperament in terms of managers as well. You could see it on the sideline with the under-20s as well. Like, he's a passionate kind of coach as well, passionate manager. And you've seen it obviously with Middleton in 2021 as well, and why they won the county. It was because Middleton were getting in the team's face. So I remember that final against Glen Rovers, and Middleton, the one thing I noticed for that Middleton side, they put it up to Glen by going into their faces. They weren't going to let him hurl at all that day. And that was a Glen Rovers team that had Hoggy in it, that had Rob Downey in it, Dean Brosnan, some very good club players in that team. But Middleton were just not giving them time on the ball. And I think Bain will probably instill that into this Cork team as well. Same with the Offaly, their opponents Offaly in 2023. A lot of talk going into that final was, yes, Cork were a very good side, but the likes of Adam Screeny and the likes of Ravenhill and all these young players for Offaly. But the question was if a team would put it up to them in terms of giving them you know, hard bills early on, how will they react? And that's what this Cork team, if that Cork team did to Offaly in 2023. So I think Bain will definitely do that with this Cork team. He will make them hard to beat. He will make them sturdy as well. But like, it's going to be very, very interesting to see the personnel. Will he keep with the same personnel or will he drop a few players? It's going to be very, very interesting. But you have to believe in the project. I think this is crucial from a Cork fan's point of view as well. It is very crucial to give Bain time. Because if the fans turn on him, let's say, halfway through the league, then that's not going to be a happy kind of underground in terms of from the stands' point of view and from the pitcher's point of view. So I think, in terms of that, I think you have to give Ben O'Connor time. It will take him a few match days to build his team. Obviously, there is no pre-season competition either, which probably is a negative in terms of inter-county managers, in terms of the hurlers and the footballers as well, but John Cleary, as I probably would have known from last year, talking to John as well. So like, it is going to be difficult to instill his team during the league, especially in the cultural nature that he's Division 1A. Like, he looked at Clare, got relegated with Division 1A, and they won't get some very good fixtures in Division 1B in terms of building up their standards to the Munster Championship. So it is important actually to stay up in Division 1A. So there is that added pressure to Ben as well. So, but it's important for the Cork public to give Ben O'Connor time. He has proved his worth at club level. He's proved his worth as a player, and he has proved his worth at underage as well. We just have to give him time at senior level to implement his ideas, his style and his team.
Lastly, and I think we've been hugely positive about the whole thing anyway, do you think he is the right man for the job and he was the right choice?
Absolutely, he's bang on the right choice, because like, I probably would have thinking and things like that in terms of who will come in for the Cork manager's job, and I had a list of five for the Southern Star last week, and ironically Bain was actually the first one on the list. So yeah. So like, you know, Bain, I think he's the right candidate for the job. Will he get Cork an All-Ireland title? It's going to be very, very hard next year, Dan. It could go to anyone, honestly. Limerick, will they be back next year? Was that Dublin game a blip? We don't know, obviously. But it looked like that Limerick team, it looked like kind of the end. In terms of that, I might be eating my words now next year, but we'll have to see about that. Clare, Brian Lowen stayed on there. Will they go again next year? Remains to be seen. Tipperary, notoriously don't do two in a row, but they are a very good side. They should get out of the Munster anyway. But will they have the temperament to win to two in a row? It remains to be seen. And Kilkenny have some decent players as well, and they're on a drought themselves for 11 years. So they're going to be very, very hard to beat as well. So it's going to be very difficult to see who will win the All-Ireland next year. I looked at the odds the other day. I had a quick glance at them now, Dan. I think it was Limerick were the odds on favourites to win it next year. Cork were second. So believe that what you will. I don't know, will that be the main case next year? But yeah, I think the ultimate aim for Bain in the 3-year term is to win the All-Ireland. Will it be to win it instantly or 2 or 3 years' time remains to be seen. But I think Cork should be up there next year contending with Ben O'Connor in charge. But it's important to provide a bit of patience. You know, he's new into the job. He's new into the senior setup now. He is a good manager. We know that. We just have to give him time to implement his ideas and his team. And ultimately, I do believe Bain will win the All-Ireland. Will it be next year? I'm not sure, but it certainly will be in the next 3 years.
Matthew Hurley of the Southern Star, thank you so much for speaking to us here on the Big Red Bench.
Thanks very much, Dan.
From hurling to the world of LGFA now, and here's Clonakilty manager David Hearn reacting to his side's 3-8 to 3-6 senior championship win over Castlehaven.
David, a 2-point victory, a typical West Cork derby, but does it matter? I mean, the result was all important here in getting that win.
Yeah, today was about the result and nothing else, as you said. Coming down to Castlehaven, you take a 1-point win any day of the week, 2-point win. We'll take anything against Castlehaven. We're delighted. You know, we weren't going too well up until today, so we just wanted to get a fight out of the girls, really. They showed massive character, huge fight. You know, they were disappointed. We were disappointed in ourselves, I suppose, especially the 18-point hammering we got in the West Cork final there 3 weeks ago. We came back strong then against Skib again last week, where it was only a kick of the ball between us. That gave us huge confidence coming in here today. And look, we knew, everyone knows what the Haven are about. Everyone knows what the Haven are down here to come away with a win. We're absolutely thrilled.
It was looking a bit ropey there. They got a couple of quick goals in the first half and they got a good start to the second half, which is just, I suppose, experience. Maybe the experienced players came to the fore.
Yeah, we actually learnt a lot going back again to the West Cork final against Skibbereen. We actually learnt a lot, even though we got hammered. We learned because in the first 20 minutes against Skibbereen, they scored 3 goals against us and our heads went down and the game was over. We threw in the towel. So since that game, we talked a lot about if the opposition do get a run ahead, a steam ahead of us, if they do get a purple patch, we stay in the fight. No matter what happens, we don't drop the head. We keep on fighting. We did it against Skib last 2 weekends ago and we did it again today. And I think just not dropping the head and not giving up was a difference today.
It's a really tough championship, as you well know, and you know, even just trying to get a win out of it when things haven't necessarily been going your way, what boost will this give the girls going to the final group matches?
Yeah, like I just said to them there after the final whistle, all it takes is one win to change everything. It happened last year against Kinsale in the group stages. One win, one, especially a tight win, an away win down here in Castlehaven, it'll give them massive belief, massive confidence. And look, we've got the best team in the county up against us next there in Ahaidh, you know, so we know it's ahead of us, so we'll put the head down over the next 2 weeks and give it our best shot for that.
We're going to hear from the Castlehaven camp now and coach Finbar Santry.
Finbar, it's hard to believe that Castlehaven team haven't picked up a point in the group stages this year, but that just tells you the level that senior football is at now. It's very, very difficult to get a victory.
Yeah, definitely. Look, senior football is a huge, huge step up, as we have found with the last few years. I suppose from our point of view, we were probably a bit late going back. We picked up a lot of injuries and stuff like that. And, you know, it's only just, I'd say, in the last game or two, we're starting to hit a bit of form. You know, we wouldn't have been happy with some of our results in the league, but we hadn't the fitness levels at that stage, same coming into the championship. But look, we're gradually improving the whole time. We know we're in the dogfight now. We've had a lift. We have then, you know, that's our next game up. But look, I suppose from a positive point of view, we're very happy with tonight's performance, even though we didn't last. Like, you know, sometimes things will go against you, don't get the rub of the green and stuff like that. But look, that's football, that's sport. You know, some days they'll go for you, more days they'll go against you. But look, senior football is a huge, huge learning curve. Like, you know, a massive step up, even from to go from junior to intermediate, to go right up to senior. It's some eye opener, and you know, it takes years and years and years, you know, to get girls used to the physicality of it, and the speed of the game as well. The way it's played now, it's frightening. Like, you know, it's nearly unprofessional in one way.
Yeah, you've also got a lot of young players, and you have to blood them. And I know, like, tonight is a difficult one because it could have gone either way, as you said. You just lost by 2 points. You could have easily won by 2 points. But the benefit of these matches, you won't see that in the younger girls, maybe until next year or the year after.
That's it. Like, I mean, you know, you might have two or three girls there now in late 20s, early 30s, but after that you come down, then they're 24 or 5 right down. Like, we had 16, 17 year olds coming on there tonight. Look, that's it. We don't have huge picks, you know, your small rural clubs, the same as all around us, you know, and you've got to blood these players and you've got to expose them to what senior football is about to a certain extent, give him a certain amount of game time in every game and try and build for the future again. And that's what it's all about.
Yep, and other clubs have done the same thing. They've managed to stay senior. That's what you're going to try and do this year and just build on it again?
Of course, yeah. Manage to stay senior, you know, and if we can manage that, look, it would give us great confidence again for the girls going forward again next year. And, you know, if we can improve every year and stay at it, look, that's what you'll be hoping to do. And, you know, you never know, your day could come.
Cheers.
That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. If you want to hear the second half of that interview from Pat Ryan, and it is a brilliant half, be sure to listen to the Big Red Bench tomorrow from 6. That's all we have time for, but fear not, Martigal Foyle on the way next. Dan Casey signing off.